Maurice Huret, in his famous article, gave an outline of Charles Strickland's life, which was well calculated to whet the appetites of the inquiring. With his disinterested passion for art, he had a real desire to call the attention of the wise to a talent which was in the highest degree original. But he was too good a journalist to be unaware that the human interest would enable him more easily to effect his purpose. And when such as had come in contact with Strickland in the past, writers who'd known him in London, painters who'd met him in the cafes of Montmartre, discovered to their amazement that where they had seen but an unsuccessful artist like another, authentic genius had rubbed shoulders with them, there began to appear in the magazines of France and America a succession of articles, the reminiscences of one, the appreciation of another, which added to Strickland's notoriety and fed without satisfying the curiosity of the public. The subject was grateful, and the industrious Weitbrecht Rotholz has been able to give a remarkable list of authorities in his imposing monograph, Karl Strickland, sein Leben und seine Kunst, by Hugo Weitbrecht Rotholz, Ph.D., Schwingel und Hanisch, Leipzig, 1914. The faculty for myth is innate in the human race. It seizes with avidity upon any incident, surprising or mysterious, in the career of those who have at all distinguished themselves from their fellows, and invents a legend to which it then attaches a fanatical belief. It is the protest of romance against the commonplace of life. The incidents of the legend become the hero's surest passport to immortality. The ironic philosopher reflects with a smile that Sir Walter Raleigh is more safely enshrined in the memory of mankind because he set his cloak for the Virgin Queen to walk on than because he carried the English name to undiscovered countries.